Some through, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a sweet song in the night season and all the day long. The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruling for everything, and all of my worry is vain. This earth some sweet day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Jesus stepped out upon his promise, yet it seems you have trusted in vain. The answer you have prayed for, it's on its way and paid for. Hold on a little longer, hold on. Hold on a little longer, hold on a little stronger. The testings of the Lord are pure gold. He'll take you through the fire, he'll burn out the dross and mire. Hold on a little longer, hold on. You're watching for his coming, you're wondering why he's waiting. Hold on a little longer, hold on. Those clouds will soon be bursting, the Son of God descending. Hold on a little longer, hold on. Hold on, pray on, hold on. A little longer, hold on, hold on, believe on, hold on a little longer, hold on.
There's a house in Grumbler's Alley where I lived some years ago, and the walls were swiftly falling to decay, and the yard was full of thistles, and that old roof was rotted so that the storms beating upon me night and day. Then the Spirit came and told me of a wonderful abode where from wind and storm I'd find a safe retreat. So the Savior sent his moving van, and he took me up the road to the little house on Hallelujah Street. I shall never forget the day that I moved from sin away and secured a change of address so complete. Since that moment, without fail, I've been getting all my mail at the little house on Hallelujah Street. Now the neighbors in the alley where I lived in years gone by, they have never ceased their talking from that day that I left them so abruptly without bidding them goodbye. and from all the sin and shame, I moved away. Since the shack of sin is empty, where I lived so many years, and no more they hear the treading of my feet, I've moved away forever from the sorrow and the tears to my little house on Hallelujah Street. Now this house is nice and cozy, and its walls so warm and tight. And the landlord doesn't charge me any rent. There's a garden in connection, filled with flowers gay and bright, where so many golden hours I have spent. Yeah, the landscape is so lovely, and the songbirds sing with glee. And I'm never hungry for good things to eat. And I'm never, never lonely, for the Savior dines with me at my little house on Hallelujah Street. Well, I've just received a letter from the King up in Glory Land that he soon is coming after all his own. He will roll down the avenue with retinue so grand, picking up the saved and blood-washed all alone. When I hear the wheels a-rumbling and I hear the angel's song, and I see that God's redemption is complete, I am sure he'll stop and take me from the place I've lived so long, at the little house on Hallelujah Street. So I'm looking for the day when he'll carry me away, and I'll make another move that can't be beat. When I leave this earthly veil, I'll no longer get my mail at my little house on Hallelujah Street.
Now everybody's talking about something you can hear as the world passes by. Some are talking about their wealth and their mansions. Others talk about their trouble and their strife. Now I don't know how to talk to a rich man. When compared, I'm a beggar, no doubt. But if you're talking about that old-time religion, well, I know what you're talking about. I like to talk about the time that Jesus saved me, when my poor soul was sinking down in sin. I like to talk about the times that he helped me through the sunshine, the storm, and the rain. I like to talk about the time of his coming. When I see his sweet face, there's no doubt. Now if you're talking about that old-time religion, well, I know what you're talking about. Now if you're talking about the old-time religion, well, I can tell you what you're talking about. About the kind that would make you love your pastor, when old Satan would say, kick him out. About the kind that would comfort you in sorrow, and would never, never fail to make you shout. Now, if you're talking about that old-time religion, well, I know what you're talking about.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Pilgrim was I, and a wandering in the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. He restoreth my soul
when I'm so weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. When I walk through that dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I will feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
There's a house.
Battlefield for Jesus, come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender, we are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's Him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right, I hope you can all hear me. coming in loud and clear from my end, so hopefully you can hear me. Let me know there as soon as the delay's over, and hopefully all is well with the loud and clear microphone here. It looks like I'm busting through here, the red, so I'm getting pretty close to that, so I should be okay. Good, loud and clear. All right, I am back. Now, I don't know if I'll be here on Friday. I might be, but we'll see. I've got a lot of moving to do in the next week, but we're going to do our best to see how often I can be here. I've got a lot of work to do, so over the next week or two. But after that, we should get into some steady time there and be able to be back to a normal schedule, which my brains will definitely appreciate, trust me. As much as you will appreciate it, I will appreciate getting my brains back into a normal schedule and getting things back on track, and plan on doing more and more and more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Well, I know I'm on the right track here because Satan has been attacking. I just get home and sure enough, here come the attacks. So, but that's all right. That's normal. That's to be expected. That always, when I see that happen, when that happens, I take great comfort in that. Because I know, number one, I've made the devil mad, and that's okay. And number two, I also know that I have an enemy, and that the things that are happening to me are because of the enemy that I have, and that I'm doing the will of the Lord, and I'm going to have some enemies. And Satan is going to use some willing pawns, and they're going to come after us. And, you know, so that is normal for me. And just getting back in the saddle, so to speak, I can see that Satan is already attacking. And so no doubt he does not like me speaking out and preaching the Bible and warning people to flee from the wrath to come and edifying the saints and building them up in their most holy faith and doing the will of God. He hates it. Satan absolutely hates the will of God. And he hates it when God's people do his will. And he seeks to stifle that and he seeks to stop that. So we have an enemy always. And he has a kingdom. And we have to remember that. So I hope you're all doing well. I hope you enjoyed yourselves while I was gone. I hope you kept yourself busy. Let's see who's on here. Carl Winters. And then my wife. And Peter Coppola. Teresa, Daryl's wife. Pilgrim Lady. Joe McDonald had a farm. Carrie, Jesus is Lord. Andrea, where you been? I went through Iowa and I ate at the Iowa Machine Shed. Goodness, they had the biggest and best buffet I've ever ate in my life at the Iowa Machine Shed. You got to go there if you've never been there. They only do a buffet on, they do it on Father's Day, Mother's Day, and Easter. So anyway, wow, was that ever good. Whew, that was good food. Man, there's flies in here. If that fly comes around me again, I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to eat it. Watch. I'm going to go like that and I'm going to just eat it. All right. Mary Teresa. Hannah Hexagram. Whatever that means. Let's see. Anybody else on here that I haven't mentioned yet? Matt Teos. How's it going? Joey. How's it going? Andy. Samuel Hall and Holly Smith. My family got to meet Holly Smith down at the Trail of Faith in Valdez. The Waldensian Trail of Faith there in Valdez, North Carolina. On Friday, we met Holly. I met her husband a couple months ago. He visited up here. But we didn't meet Holly. Then we met Holly, and we didn't meet her husband. That's how it went. Someday, we'll meet them both together. Danielle, how are you? I'm doing good. Glad you're on here and able to listen. Let's see. That's your favorite spot. All right, Andrea. Good call. If you come out to Arizona, but you seem to think I'm a Steven Anderson plant. I didn't say you were a Steven Anderson plant. Why do you think that? When did I ever say that? I don't remember saying that. You know, to be honest with you, it wouldn't matter to me if you were. I don't care. That guy can't hurt me any. I'm not worried about those people. They can't do nothing to me anyway. I've met real enemies before. Those guys aren't anything to be concerned with, believe me. But I don't get to Arizona ever, really. I don't ever get there, you know? Colorado? I almost took my family to the Grand Canyon this year, but I didn't think Mom and Dad could handle it. I just wasn't sure if it was a good idea, you know? So we decided to go to Colonial Williamsburg, which was a blessing, by the way. A lot of fun. We had a good time. And I'll tell you about that maybe on Friday. Maybe Friday I'll tell you about our trip. Give you a rundown of the things that we saw, what we did, and all that good stuff. Maybe we'll do that then. That'd be kind of fun. I could give you a play-by-play, show you some pictures, explain some things to you. Right? Russ from Cape Town. What's that mean? Not all. That's your name. Not all? Oh, okay. From Cape Town. Well, all kinds of different people coming on here today. I decided to come on a little bit early because I've got some things I have to take care of a little bit later here. So I needed to come on a little bit early and do that and then skate out of here. So, but I want to teach you something. The Lord showed me here this week. And I think it'll be interesting to you. I think it'll be edifying. Glad you're doing a broadcast today. Well, praise the Lord, Elizabeth. I'm glad you're here to listen to it. I'm glad when anybody wants to listen to me, to the Bible preach. But, you know, I mean, it's something, you know, most preachers, a lot of people don't want to listen. They don't want to hear anything. So I'm blessed when anybody wants to hear something, you know. It doesn't happen a lot of times. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, but God has his people everywhere, and they do want to hear it, and we're blessed by that. We thank God for that. And I'm glad you enjoyed some of those lessons in Mark. I put a few of those on YouTube. We need to get more of them, one more on there. I'll try to get out. It's my email, Addy. My name is Russ. Oh, I don't know what Addy means, but okay. Ross, how are you, Ross? it's good to be back, man. It really is. I missed everybody. I really do. You know, I missed being on with everybody and talking and the fellowship with everybody. And I got some things planned for the future, but just not ready for that yet. We just got to keep pressing on. Deanna, how are you? Good to have you on here. Glad you're live on here. Praise the Lord. I've enjoyed studying in Mark, and I think I've got something here for you that'll be a blessing that really just, it brings out a truth, but it makes people come to the truth. It makes people make a decision. Jesus always brought people to a clear decision. Satan is always the one that brings in the what ifs, right? That's what Satan does. But Jesus always brings us to that decision of who he is. The most important decision. The most important decision. Brother Jim Wilford. Keeping it real with Jim in Texas. Amen. Well, it's good. It's good to be back. I just canned somebody off of here. I just kicked them right off. Goodbye. It finally got hot, Jim. You finally feel like you're in Texas. Well, it's been 95. I was gone on vacation for 2 weeks, and it was 95 here where I was at. It was cool. Man, I was loving it. Brother Jim and I got to do a broadcast sometime soon. There's something we're going to talk about. I'll say it. I won't tell you what it is, but we're going to be doing a broadcast sometime in the future. And it'll be good. It'll be a blessing for sure. All right. I want you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Well, the reason why those videos worked out so well is because me and Jim actually have a lot of fun together. Hello from Tennessee. I've been listening to you on Sermon Audio. Glad I'm able to catch you live. How long have you been listening, Terry Carter? Just curious, how long? I shouldn't say just Brother Jim and I. I have fun with David Ickes, too. We're definitely good friends, but it's just me and Jim, we've been through a lot together. Anyway, but I'm going to be doing a lot of interviews in the future. When I set up my studio and do the things that I want to do, we'll be doing a lot of good things. So you hang on. There's some interesting things coming our way here in the future. You just hang tight. Lord willing, it will get there. Amen? We will get there. All right, well, let's get going here. Mark chapter 2. And only 2 days, Terry? That's it? Wow. Well, you might not like me if you keep listening. So maybe you got into some sermons you liked. If you keep listening, you might not like me very long. I tend to lose friends real easy. But anyway, hopefully that's not the case. I've seen him come and I've seen him go, but I'm still here doing what God's called me to do. Amen? All right. Here we go. Mark chapter 2. Jesus brings it. Jesus just in verse number 5. Let's see. Here we go. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's true, Jim. I did write the book on that, I think. How to Lose Friends and Influence People. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Important. Pay attention, there's a lot here. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. Whether it is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, and so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now, we're going to stop there for a minute. Now, in this portion of Scripture, this absolutely proves the deity of Christ, the Godhead of Christ. And Jesus forces these people that are around him to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He forces them to come to that place. You've heard that Jesus, it's been said of Jesus that he was a good prophet. You know, people, the most important question of your life is asked. Let me show you where that is. It's right here. In Matthew 16, 13. The most important question of your life is right here. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I want you to understand. Are you paying attention? Man, I hope you are. Because this is so simple and so rich with power that if you miss it, if you miss the simplicity of it, you'll get your head all messed up. God is making it so absolutely 100% simple right here. I like the title that he uses here. Whom do men say that I, the capital Son of Man, am? Why did he use that term? He used it on purpose. Jesus always chose words on purpose. Jesus is explaining right here. He is illustrating the incarnation, the hypostatic union. Fully God, fully man. So Jesus asked the question, Whom do men say that I... He didn't say, Whom do men say that I am? No, no, no. He said, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked the question. Why did he use the title Son of Man? because Son of Man shows his 100% manhood. Jesus is not Hercules. The mythological story of Hercules. Hercules was part man, part God. Jesus, fully man, fully God. So he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's asking, he's explaining that he is fully God and fully man. And he illustrates that by using the title Son of Man. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, and others Jeremias, or of one of the prophets. So you're Jeremiah or you're Elijah, that prophet that should come. All these people, oh, he's just a good prophet. Well, if he was one of the, if he was a good prophet, then good prophets don't lie and say they're God. Good prophets don't make themselves equal with God. I'm here to tell you today that if you think Jesus was a good prophet and not God in the flesh, then you don't believe the Bible and you're lost and dead in your sins. If you deny it after you've been shown it, I realize that we don't always understand everything when we first get saved, or we're not always thinking about that. We're thinking, man, we're going to die and go to a devil's hell if we don't get saved by the grace of God. Jesus died for my sins. He was the Son of God. He came and died for my sins. And I trust him as my Lord and Savior. But as you grow in the Lord and you learn who Christ is, that he was God manifest in the flesh, that he was equal with God, and you understand and grow to understand the Trinity and all those things, you can't deny the faith. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. And this is the question more pointed for each and every person. But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am? That's the most important question today. And my answer is the same as Peter's. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Now we'll get to that in a second, okay? I want to get back to Mark chapter 2 here, because I'm going to teach you through some of these things here today. And hopefully, this is a good lesson. By the way, this is a good lesson on the doctrine of God. See, you're getting a theological lesson here that many pastors don't think that you can handle. So they won't teach you theology because people can't do it. You only teach pastors and theological students that. Well, this is, you're learning theology right here. You're learning the Godhead. You're learning to understand the Trinity and the Godhead. Never a truer statement was made that God came down as man in the likeness of sinful flesh. I want you to look at this. Romans chapter 8. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This gets gooder and gooder, by the way. It just keeps getting gooder. The more you go through this, it gets gooder. And without controversy. There's no controversy. Right? No dispute. No debate. I'm not going to debate to you whether Jesus is God. It's without controversy. It's without debate. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world and received up into glory. That is the mystery of godliness. That is the incarnation of the Son of God. That is the incarnation of God in the flesh. Manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Now go back to Mark. Mark chapter 2. Listen to me. If Jesus was not God in the flesh, then these men would be right about him. Look what they said. But there were certain of the scribes sitting here and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? If Jesus isn't God in the flesh, then he'd be a blasphemer. Don't give me that nonsense that Jehovah's Witnesses give me. You dishonest people. That, oh, he was a good prophet, or he was a son of God, or the Mormons give me, or the Pentecostal oneness people give me, or those that deny the deity of Christ. He could not be a good teacher or a teacher of good things. He must be God in the flesh, or he must be a devil. He is either God in the flesh or he is a devil. But he cannot be both. Or he cannot be anything in between. He must be fully God, fully man. Now Jesus, look what it says here. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves. Now, what does he say to them? Proving he's God. Look at this. He's proving he's omniscient. All-knowing. He can see the reasoning in their hearts. He sees into their hearts because he's God. Why doth this man speak blasphemies? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? He could read their hearts. Look at this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Who is the same as the word of God? What's one of Jesus' titles? The word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Proving he is God because he knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. He could see their hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It is God that searches the heart. It is God that knows their heart. Jesus knew their hearts because he's God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hang on, let me find this. Let's see. I think it's that one. Let me see if that's right. Here we go. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. See that? The fullness of the Spirit. The Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Spirit was not given to him by measure. Jesus was able to know their thoughts, proving he was God. He was able to discern the thoughts and intents of their heart. Who could do this but God only? Jesus purposely uses that title, the Son of Man, again to show them that it was no violation or contradiction of divinity. It was no blasphemy for Christ to be fully God and fully man. Jesus is that way to eternal life. He is the truth of eternal life, and he is the life of eternal life. Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh to die as a man, yet being fully God. Philippians chapter 2, let's turn there. Verses 6. Look at what it says here. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now let me stop there and say, next time some joker said, where does the Bible ever say that Jesus is God? Right there. Says it right there. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not rob the deity of God. He did not take away from the glory of God. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The incarnation of the Word. What does the Bible tell us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you see, he was not robbing from God. He was not robbing from God. You know, you can't straddle the fence with this. He's either God in the flesh, he's either God or devil. Can't be both. Jesus makes a man answer, "Whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am?" Is he deity or devil? Can't have it both ways, right? He's either one or the other. First Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know what you were, you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." See, it is by the Spirit, it is by the Holy Ghost, that a man is convinced that Jesus is Lord, that he is convinced that Jesus is God. It is the Holy Ghost that convinces that man of that truth. It is no one else that can convince him of that. No one else can bring him into that understanding but the Lord. But the Holy Ghost teaches and shows us that. Amen. You know, they accused him of blasphemies because they understood not. But they also, what they did understand was, is that Jesus was making himself equal with God, because he said he had power on earth to forgive sins. There's also another spot in the scriptures that show this, that they wanted to kill Jesus for that. Turn to John chapter 5. And that's why Muslims die and go to hell, because they reject Jesus Christ as being the incarnate Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. They believe that Allah had no sons. And their Allah is the Antichrist. And he will manifest, and he will have a son, and they will bow down and worship him. He will be their 12th imam. He will be the one that should come, that will rule and reign with that rod of iron. He will be that Antichrist that will merge apostate Judaism, Kabbalistic Judaism, the great whore of Babylon, Muslims, Hindus. Billions of people will fall and bow down and worship the Antichrist. Now let me show you this. If I got the right chapter here. Okay. Let's start with verse number 14. "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Now, let me explain something to you. It was impossible for Christ to break the Sabbath. Why? Because he's God. That's why. Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath wasn't for God. God didn't need it. Right? God didn't need it. Christ is the Sabbath. He is the rest. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Now I want you to look at this. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why did they seek to kill him? What was the reason to kill him? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Stop for a second and think about this. Wait a minute. So the Jews understood that Jesus saying that his Father was God would be stating that he was begotten of the Father, that he came from heaven, and that he is equal with God, the Father. Yes. They understood that doctrine. Why is it that Pentecostals and others and the oneness people, the Pentecostals, the other groups of people that deny the deity of Christ, the Mormons, the JWs, and a plethora of other heretics out there deny what the Bible clearly states? Then answered Jesus and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." Look, even as they honor the Father. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Praise God. March 12th, 1 o'clock, 2002. I heard the voice of the Son of God speaking into my soul, eternal life, and bringing me to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, and made me a new creature in Christ. I heard the voice of the Son of God. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." There it is. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He said unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." I'm going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to be preaching tonight on Acts chapter 17. We'll be streaming that on sermon audio. Acts chapter 17. And going to be talking about Paul's witness, using the Old Testament scriptures to preach the Bible, preach the gospel, preach the word of God. How Paul used them time and time and again. over and over again. And you will not come that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive him me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. That's the Antichrist. Him ye will receive. They would receive him, but they would not receive Christ. See, they knew that he was making himself equal with God. They knew it. But he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't robbery. He didn't take away from the glory of God. How about this one? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. See that? Matthew chapter 16, which we looked at, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. John chapter 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, he's speaking of the father and son relationship here. They answered him. Now, I want you to watch this, because this is a direct refutation of the future Antichrist that will come. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. See, now they're going to do a spiritual comparison. Spiritual fathers. Jesus is talking about his relationship to the Father. Jesus is discussing his relationship that God is his Father. They answered, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Christ is forever the Son. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus says, My Father is God in heaven. And if I make you free through salvation in my name, if I make you free, you are forever free. You owe nothing to no man. But you are saved by grace, and you are granted an inheritance of eternal life for all of eternity. Because when the Son of Man shall make you free. Remember back in the Old Testament? Remember when David was going to slay the giant? The king said, whoever slays the giant, the king will make his father's house free. Well, forever his house would be free then. He would never have to pay taxes to the crown ever again. That's what Jesus was saying eternally. That when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You'll never owe anybody again. You won't owe a priest. You won't owe a pastor. You won't owe a pope. You won't owe anybody. Because when the Son of Man shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, because he is God, and he grants you eternal life as a gift by his blood that was shed on Calvary, because he doth always those things that please the Father. If the Son of Man shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. He's talking about Satan. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus told them that they were spiritual fornicators. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I perceive, you know, when I'm out street preaching and I'm preaching the pure gospel, I'm not saying you might not like me preaching on standards, or you might not like me preaching on some things, and you might not understand a few things. I get that. When I'm preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, calling men to repentance, and you come up to me and calling out the sin of sodomites and the sins of the homosexual and those sins, when I'm calling those things out and calling men to repentance and saying, God's going to judge that. You better repent and believe the gospel. And then you got some guy coming along, right? And you got some guy coming along. And he's preaching something else. And he's telling you it's okay to be gay. And he's telling you it's okay to be a sodomite. It's okay for you to live like that. It's okay for you to live in sin. God doesn't care. Or any of those things. Then I know that if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? even because you cannot hear my word. Here's why. Because those Lutheran pastors and those others, by the way, I'm going to get that event. I have that event, that sodomite event on video. And I'm going to broadcast that. And I'm going to show you what was going on there. And I'm going to show you those apostate churches that were there and how they were supporting that event. And they were supporting that movement, right? And I'll probably put it on sermon audio because YouTube will kick me off in 3 seconds. So I'll just put it on sermon audio and I'll show you the video. Because they're of their father, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. What is he talking about? Okay, here's your chance. What is he talking about here? What is Jesus talking to them about? Their father and the lie that their father is speaking. Let's see. See if you can guess that.
Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time.
Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
So the disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come on and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time.
Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Soon the Lamb will catch his bride, to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assembled be, and it'll be a glorious sight. All the saints dressed up in white, there we'll feast with Jesus Christ eternally.
Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine.
Okay, who is he talking about? He's talking about the Antichrist. Remember, he says, I am of my Father, right? I do the works of my Father. He says, ye are of your Father, and the lust of your Father ye will do. That's right, Ross. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. He's speaking of the Antichrist coming in the flesh. This is why I believe the Antichrist will be a Jew. I do believe that. He is saying that all of these mystery Babylon religions will all come together. Roman Catholicism, Mohammedism, Hinduism, Buddhism. All of them will, apostate Kabbalistic Judaism. They will all come together. He says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He's a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. What? The father of what? Of the lie. Who is the truth? Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Who is the lie? The Antichrist is the lie. Who is the father of Christ? God the Father. Who is the father of the Antichrist? Satan. Satan's seed. Versus the seed of the woman. I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Right there. There it is. There it is. Father of the greatest lie ever told. The Antichrist. Ye shall be as gods. He will be, I believe the Antichrist will be some form in some way of Satan manifest in flesh. I don't know how that's going to work. I know he's not God and he can't do what God did. But he's going to manipulate the genetics like he did in Genesis chapter 6. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's doing now. That's what all these preparatory things and foreshadowings of vaccines and genetics and all those other things are about. That's what it's about. That's right. Who is a liar but he denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and Son. And the Antichrist will be a denial of Christ in the flesh. Because he will say he is. He will come in his own name. But Jesus was very clear. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he was God manifest in the flesh. So here's what we come back to. And here's the question. Jesus is either God or the devil. He cannot be both. Scripture says that he is God. He is thy Lord. Worship thou him. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He has many titles. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Word made flesh. He is King. He is King. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. He is Lord, he is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, and his power shall reign forever and ever. Jesus is God. You see, you can't tonight say, well, Jesus was just a good teacher. He was a good teacher. No, good teachers don't lie about being God. Good teachers don't make themselves equal with God. No, mere good teachers. Moses never made himself equal with God. Moses was a good teacher, greatest prophet outside of Christ, John, and John the Baptist, right? Those men were great prophets. But they never made themselves equal to God. I asked a question a long time ago. I think it was the second sermon I ever preached. Jesus Christ, the good man or the God man? Remember that one all those years ago? Man, it was like 13 years ago. Jesus Christ, the good man or the God man? And I said he couldn't be a good man if he lied about who he was. No, he must be God. See, Scripture is forcing you to make a decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Whom do ye say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the question it comes down to, friend. Have you turned to Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted him? What did Thomas say? And Thomas answered. Look what happened here. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, my hands, and reach hither my hand, thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. See, Thomas understood that. That's what the Bible illustrates. That's what the Bible shows us. So you see, you can't be a fence straddler when it comes to Christ. You know what I learned from a lot of those people out there at that event? That those Christian people at the Sodomite event? We went out there and preached a few weeks ago. One of the things that I learned is it all comes down to an authority issue. Because they would say they were Christians and they would say they were this. And then when it came down to the Bible, you know what they always said? Well, that book was written by many different men, and that's been this, and that's... They questioned the authority. Wait a minute. You told me you were a Christian, and you don't even believe God's Word is the inspired, infallible, perfect Word of God? You believe it's full of stories and errors and everything else? So you're not a Christian, you're a liar, and that's what I told them. I said, you're a liar. Let's get it down to the Scriptures. Do you believe this is God's Word? And they all say they're Christian at first, but when you come down to the authority, guess what they say? No, I think there's mistakes in there. I think it was written by a bunch of men. I think this. So you're not a Christian, you're a liar. Don't tell me what to preach, and don't tell me what a Christian is when you don't even believe the Bible. You're an antichrist, and I told them that too. I told them all that, you see those Lutherans over there? They're in a worse shape than you Sodomites are. You know why they're in a worse shape than you Sodomites? You want to know why? Because they're teaching you that your sin is okay, that God's okay with it. And woe be unto them who call good evil and evil good. Woe be unto those false prophets that for money and for gain, they're teaching you that because they want to pay for their buildings. Because they got to pay for all their stuff, and they want to be relevant and cool to you. They want you to like them. They want to bring in. They want. They got a daughter or a son that's a Sodomite, and they want to compromise, and they want to dumb down the Scriptures. They want to change God's law. They want to form God in their own pocket, and they want to form a God after their own image, after their own likeness, and not the God of the Bible. They want to form their own God, a God after their image. And that's what the Antichrist is. That's why they're going to be lapdogs for the Antichrist. They're all going to run and flock to the Antichrist. All of them are. You know these people that say, oh, I'm an atheist, I'm this. No, you're a fool. Because as soon as that Antichrist comes up on the scene, you're going to lick his toes. You'll stand in line to worship him. You'll run to him. Better repent and believe the gospel. Better believe this book. Bunch of devils telling those people that they're okay doing what they're doing, and God loves them. And that's love. And that's love. No, that's not love. It's hate. Lying to people is hating them. What did Jesus say? Those liars are murderers. He said those false prophets are murderers. They're murderers. That Lutheran church in Northfield and all these Sodomite-loving, unified, Unitarian Lutheran churches around here with their female fake pastors, and all, they're a bunch of liars. They're a bunch of fakes. They're a bunch of phonies. They're a bunch of murderers. They are soul murderers. That's what they are. Because they're preaching another Jesus, another gospel. And by the grace of Almighty God and upon the authority of Scriptures, I say, let them be accursed. And every time I see them, I call them out. I make it a point to blast them and call them what they are. I preach against them. First, I preach against them and I blast their heresy. I blast them. I make sure of it. I make sure every time I see those false prophets, I blast them. Because they are antichrist and they are worse off than the Sodomites. They are worse off than the these people that they've deceived. And their damnation slumbereth not. All right, everybody. Man, I'm fired up. I got to save it for tonight, though. I got to preach another 4 hours. So I'll save it for tonight. But anyway, that's okay, though. We got a good hour and a half in almost. That's not too bad for just getting back into the swing of things. Amen? But, well, God bless you all. Listen, tune in to tonight if you'd like to. SermonAudio.com/Pastor Cooley. We'll be live on there for the sermon tonight. If you didn't catch this, Fatherhood, What's Missing in America, if you didn't catch that, that was a live truck talk I did from my van, actually, on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. And so listen to that when you get a chance. It talks about fatherhood. Let's see. Hey, if you didn't get to listen to this, Micah's Mom, you ought to listen to that. That's one that will be a help to you, I am sure. If you would like to give to our ministry, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or you can click on our sermon audio page, click the give button there, click PayPal, or, hey, guess what? Somebody started sending me money through Apple Pay, so you can do that too. And also you can mail us something if you'd like. Thank you to all those that give to the ministry. I appreciate it. I'm probably going to have to buy some more equipment anyway because I'm going to be building a studio, Lord willing, at the new house that I'm getting. I'm going to be building a studio inside of there to have a sealed off studio that I can broadcast from, soundproof and all that good stuff, and have a big room, have my library in there, Lord willing, have all my library in one spot, have my stand-up desk there, have all of my everything decked out for an OPBC studio where I can interview people and all that good stuff. So I don't know. I might need new equipment for that. I don't know. I'll let you know if I do and how that's going to all work. But we got to wait till things are finalized this next week to see how that goes. But I'd eventually like to do that. So in the wintertime, I don't have to drive in here in bad weather to broadcast. I can do it right from my home. Peter, no, I will not interview you. You look like a werewolf, and I don't interview werewolves. I've ran into a few of those vampires and werewolves in my life, and man, I'm telling you, I don't know about interviewing those guys. They're kind of weird. And I did wear the Flat Earth shirt last night, though, just so you know. I did. And methinks that Peter is cousin to the Schnebelator, along with his no-eyed friend, Carl. And they are definitely part of the Schnebelator gang, I think, of no-eyed laws and all that good stuff. And no, I will not interview the Corn Cob. Well, maybe Corn Cob, but not J-Cob. No, Carl, you don't... Well, Carl, I don't know if we should say you don't look like a werewolf. I'm not sure about that. Just kidding. However, there are some things. I found a book for $1 on giants, and I'm going to read it. And it was at a place in Colonial Williamsburg. Can you believe it? It was there. And I was like, what is this? So anyway, we'll see how that goes. Why is Peter still listening to the Schnebelator? There you go. Well, Lord willing, it's the home we bought. We're going to see if it all gets finalized next week. I have faith that the Lord is doing it, but, you know, God can do what he wants. Oh, and I found a mound, too. I got to talk to you about that. So I'm going to save that. I've got pictures of that. Excellent idea, Hannah. Glad you reminded me of that. Why don't I talk about that? Lord willing, if I have time on Friday, I want to talk to you about the giant mound that I found. We'll talk about that, the giant mound. Maybe we'll do a broadcast on giants and the mound. The mound that I found in that town. How about that? We'll talk about that. We'll see. Maybe on Friday. Because next week, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to broadcast. I'm busy moving next week. If everything closes, fine. Remember, I got three houses to close on. And it's all got to be the 29th and the 30th. So if you'd pray that the Lord would bless that and that that would all work out well, that'd be great. That'd be good. So we could use the prayers, definitely. I just haven't announced a whole lot of things yet. I've kind of kept it quiet, but we're still working all that out. Getting everything taken care of. So, all right. Anyway, so tonight, 7:30 Central Time. We'll be on Sermon Audio. We'll broadcast live there probably. And all that good stuff. I mean, I suppose we could broadcast live on YouTube also. It's not that big of a deal. We could do either one. But anyway, so you pray for us. And I got to get going here. I got to get some stuff done here today. But anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We'll see you soon, Lord willing. Yep, we'll be putting it online. We'll put the sermon tonight. It'll be on. I might just have him recorded on YouTube live. I might just do that. So anyway, we'll see. All right.